This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're here. We're available. I'm in the doctor's office. You don't have to worry about catching coronavirus when you come into my office because it's virtual. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions. That's 877-726-TALK. And we've got lots of questions. Some people prefer to call during the times we're not live on the air, and they can record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions later because lots of concerns being expressed. Of course, top on people's agenda is COVID-19, which continues to be an issue, but we're beginning to unravel the lockdown. And I don't know where you're listening to this program from, but I'm here in the belly of the beast, ground zero for coronavirus infections, Manhattan. That's where I've been for the past couple of months, sheltering in place. But the inevitable unraveling of the lockdown is underway. And yesterday is an indication because officially we're not supposed to be emerging. We're not supposed to be returning to normal here in New York City. But the temperatures soared to about 86 degrees here in New York City. And people were out and about, and there was lots of traffic, and some of the bars ingeniously installed little windows where they can hand drinks in plastic containers to people who are anxious to resume their social lives. And people standing on the sidewalk in their shorts, in their shirt sleeves, and drinking, and indeed, when you drink, you have to lower your mask to imbibe, and people are getting antsy. It's in spite of the fact that there are some edicts about not mingling, not going outside. Lots and lots of people are finally fed up with this. Even here in New York City, where I reside, despite the government edicts reinforcing limits on business and recreation, the natives are getting restless. And, you know, prior to this, we had unusually cool and wet spring weather. I can't remember when it's been so cold and dreary with record low temperatures. It made it easier to comply with stay-at-home edicts, but patience is wearing thin as temperatures warm and people are emerging en masse. So the dire warnings from public officials notwithstanding about a surge, a mass jailbreak seems inevitable because we can't put spring fever on pause indefinitely. Yet, we have no vaccine, and despite encouraging predictions, safe and effective shot may be a long way off, not to mention people's natural reluctance to be its first guinea pigs. We'll talk a little bit about that because there are some people who are queuing up to be experimented on, to obtain the vaccine, and then to be deliberately exposed to coronavirus. We'll talk about that fascinating story in just a few moments. And I believe that progress will be made towards some sort of cocktail of effective drugs that may ultimately save a majority of the very sick. We've seen it happen with AIDS, but it took a decade or two of trial and error. Yet there's still no surefire cure for HIV, short of been a few documented cases of impractical bone marrow transplants, which is a huge deal. They have succeeded in a handful of cases at eradicating the virus, but at enormous expense and with harrowing side effects. And for all the hundreds of thousands and millions affected with the HIV virus, it just wouldn't be practical. So that leaves us with two alternatives. One involves, you know, what we're doing, the social distancing with aggressive testing and maybe some contact tracing and, of course, the scrupulous disinfection. But that has, it's going to have a lot of consequences, economic consequences and psychological consequences. Think of, you know, what restaurants and live entertainment and sports and travel and school and workspaces are going to have to be like. We'll talk a little bit about some of the precautions that I'm personally taking as I contemplate returning to see patients in person in the office. And the other alternative is what's called individual risk factor mitigation. That's a fancy term for making yourself so darn healthy that no self-respecting virus would want to reside in your body or cause you life-threatening complications. And that is a workable proposition when it comes to coronavirus. That much we've learned in the past couple of months. And I've been talking about it continuously here on Intelligent Medicine. I wrote an article entitled Poor Protoplasm. And poor protoplasm means that you are in such vulnerable shape that you become a happy home for the virus. And it's been clear from the start that while we can't eradicate the bug at the present time, our best bet is to strengthen the terrain or the soil on which the coronavirus can thrive. So the question is, going forward, especially as we release the lockdown, the enforced sequestration, do you have poor protoplasm? Because if so, it's a call to action for aggressive preventive medicine. And there are these so-called comorbidities. Comorbidities mean these conditions that put you at risk for serious complication, hospitalization, ultimately getting on a ventilator, which is virtually a death sentence, and then checking out due to coronavirus. In a recent Chinese study of patients hospitalized for COVID-19, it was found that most patients, 74% of them, had one or more comorbidities. Hypertension was the most common comorbidity, 50%, followed by diabetes, 25%, and ischemic heart disease, 18.5%. And it's probably not going to be much better here in the United States. Preliminary results suggest the proportions of seriously ill patients with comorbidities may be even higher among Americans who are generally fatter and sicker than the average Chinese. Although the Chinese are catching up. They're eating a lot of junk food. Their lives are becoming more sedentary. The hardy Chinese peasant of the 1950s and 60s is being supplanted by chubby urban dweller subsisting on fast food. But not quite as bad as especially certain parts of the United States among certain populations. So metabolic fitness is going to be the watchword going forward. And we'll talk a little bit in just a moment about metabolic fitness. What does that mean? And the shocking statistics that show that only a vanishingly small percentage of Americans, especially older Americans, are truly metabolically fit. So it's a real call to action for making yourself healthy, because that, in the absence of a vaccine, in the absence of effective treatment, in spite of social distancing, we all got to get out there and get back to life and get back to work. And ultimately, what's going to protect us from the consequences of the coronavirus? Well, it's our metabolic fitness. And we'll explore in just a moment what that means. 877-726-8255. That's our number for Intelligent Medicine if you want to join in on the conversation. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just 2 capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number is 877-726-8255. We want to get in on the action. We're here. We're available. You can call in with your questions or concerns or share your experiences during the coronavirus lockdown. Well, we're emerging from lockdown. And for some people, that's actually scarier because it's easier to lock down and to pull up the drawbridges and to stay home than to emerge into a world of danger and uncertainty with all the attendant inconveniences, you know, the masks and sometimes the gloves and the disposable things in the restaurants and the partitions and the social distancing. And, you know, if you're older, that is considered a comorbidity. You know, the statistics show that the vast majority of individuals who are being hospitalized and who are dying of coronavirus are older individuals. They're vulnerable. But by no means is older age the only variable. And if it were, you know, we could just say, well, everybody who's over 65, yours truly included, is just shelter in place. And the rest of us can go about our lives. But I really wouldn't want that to be applied to me indiscriminately because, well, according to an article in The Conversation, and I wrote about it in this week's newsletter, it is also possible that the reason why more men and elderly people are dying from COVID-19 is more simple. We know that the risk of fatal COVID-19 disease is almost twice as great if the person has underlying health conditions. Most of these health conditions show increasing prevalence with age, such as hypertension, which occurs from 7.5% in those under 40, but skyrockets to over 63% in those over 60. This increasing rate of predisposing health conditions could directly increase the risk of severe COVID-19 disease. And in fact, we know that younger individuals are not exempt from the risk of severe disease or death from coronavirus. There's an article in Clinical Endocrinology this month entitled, "Obesity Can Shift Severe COVID-19 to Younger Age Groups." And what they're saying here, the author, Dr. David Cass, he's a professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, he says, there's a simple message. If you're very, very overweight, don't think that if you're 35, you're that much safer from severe COVID-19 than your mother or grandparents or others in their 60s or 70s. And so there's an article here, and this actually was compiled well before coronavirus. It came out last year. Prevalence of optimal metabolic health in American adults. optimal metabolic health. And the results are shocking because the vast majority of American adults are not optimally metabolically healthy. And I'll share with you the criteria. And the criteria, in some ways, are kind of lax and in some ways kind of stringent. For waist circumference, they say you got to have less than a 40-inch waist for males and a 35-inch waist for females. And I would say that's a pretty lenient criterion because, you know, if you're a guy and you're 5'6" and your waist circumference is 37, that ain't great. That ain't great. Right? But they also use as a criterion blood pressure, which needs to be less than 120 over 80. And that's a result of some new guidelines that came out a couple years ago that put more individuals in the category of high blood pressure. It used to be borderline blood pressure 120 to 130 over 80 to 90. That was borderline. Now they say blood pressure should be less than 120 over 80. So that's a very stringent requirement. Triglycerides less than 150, HDL greater than 40 for males, greater than 50 for females. Fasting glucose needs to be less than 100. Hemoglobin A1C needs to be less than 5.7. That's a marker of average blood sugar. And 5.7 is the cutoff for prediabetes. The cutoff for actual diabetes, depending on who you talk to, it's 6.2 or 6.4. And also, in order to be metabolically fit, obviously, you had to be not on medications, such as the medications we use for diabetes, hypertension, or heart disease. So, check this out. Based on these criteria, the proportion of American adults considered metabolically healthy was a mere 12.2%. Oh, goodness. Just over 1 in 10 of us were metabolically healthy. And surprisingly, absence of obesity didn't guarantee metabolic health. Less than one-third of normal weight adults were metabolically healthy, even if they're a normal weight. But age did matter, and that may be why age is considered a comorbidity. Less than one-third of over 60 adults had normal glucose or normal hemoglobin A1C or blood pressure. Hence, the percentage of metabolically fit seniors was vanishingly small, a mere 2.1%. In over 60s. And even for the middle-aged cohort, 40 to 59, ordinarily people thought to be in the prime of life, only 9% met the criteria for optimal metabolic fitness. So these individuals who were not metabolically fit, they are the very self-same individuals who are now flooding our hospitals and ending up on ventilators with life-threatening COVID-19 infections. And the good news is that for the most part, optimization of metabolic fitness is attainable via very few simple lifestyle modifications. And given the absence of a cure or a vaccine, it's the only game in town. So the watchword for the next few months, get yourself metabolically fit. It's your best defense against the coronavirus. 877-726-8255. We'll take some of your calls, and we've got lots more to share with you on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And we have that line open 24/7. So that means, you wake up 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning and you have a burning question for the show. You can call in and you can record your question, as did this individual. Let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Jane, and I want to know the difference between D2 and D3. And another question I want to ask is, why do men get breast cancer?
Oh, okay. A couple of interesting questions. So both are forms of vitamin D. And generally, vitamin D3 is what you get in health food stores, and vitamin D2 is what you get from prescription vitamin D. And they come from different sources. Just like people, mushrooms can tan. Yeah, you expose them to UV light, and they tan. And it also ups their production of vitamin D2, as happens with humans. You know, we up our production of vitamin D when we get exposed to the sun. And that's how they produce ergocalciferol, which is vitamin D2. And how do you get vitamin D3? Well, it's actually a byproduct of lanolin, which was from shearing sheep. There's a nice lanolin, which is their waterproofing material, so that even if they have fur, when it rains, they're protected. It's kind of like, like a treated Gore-Tex raincoat. And that lanolin can be made into vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, which is what you get, when you get the health food store variety of vitamin D. Now, it turns out that vitamin D3 is about 50% more bioavailable and potent. Some say twice as bioavailable and potent as vitamin D2. So I suggest people get the health food store variety of vitamin D, as opposed to the prescription form of vitamin D. Although, it just means you got to use more of the D2. You can achieve adequate levels of vitamin D with the D2. Just need to use a little more to get to the levels, and then you have your blood tested for the metabolite 25-hydroxy vitamin D, which is on its way to the useful vitamin D that your body needs in so many ways. There you have it. When it comes to breast cancer, the fact is that men have breasts, and they have some breast tissue, but that breast tissue is under much less hormonal stimulation than women's breast tissue, which, of course, is much larger, and also is subject to many decades of high levels of estrogen. And that may be the reason why women have such a high prevalence of breast cancer as opposed to men. I think the statistic is that about 1% of the breast cancer occurs in men. And that's about right in terms of like the proportion of breast tissue. But men can get breast cancer. And unfortunately, when men get breast cancer, it's often more aggressive, more likely to kill you, possibly because it's harder to detect. Men get less screening, but there may be other biological factors that are associated with the aggressiveness of male breast cancer maybe because it emerges without having hormone receptors, which tend to make treatment more easy in women, since the breast cancer in men may be less likely to have estrogen receptors. It may be that male breast cancer is more dangerous when it occurs, although more rarely. 877-726-8255 is our number. And let me share with you one of the things that I think it's important to take to up your metabolic fitness. I take it every day, and I think it should be part of your regimen. I think it's one of the most exciting supplements on the market. Your body is made up of trillions of cells, and each one is continually hard at work to keep you healthy and resilient. But to keep up with their essential work, a sufficient supply of an essential molecule called NAD must be available. But this critical cellular resource is not constant, so having safe, effective ways to boost our NAD is vital, especially during our current situation, because lifestyle influences such as poor diet, alcohol consumption, lack of sleep, things we're likely to be experiencing more frequently today, can all decrease your cell's precious NAD supply. Various types of physiologic stress, including the stress of the immune system and lack of exercise, can also deplete your NAD pool. But you can safely and effectively elevate your NAD levels with the cellular support supplement True Niagen Pro. True Niagen Pro contains niagen nicotinamide riboside, which works to boost your NAD. In fact, niagen is clinically proven to be safe, well-tolerated, and effective in boosting NAD. True Niagen Pro gives your hardworking cells exactly what they need to perform at their best and help you stay resilient. True Niagen Pro's ability to increase NAD is backed by multiple human studies. We've talked about it here on Intelligent Medicine. I recommend it to my patients, and I use it myself. To learn more about the research behind True Niagen Pro, or to order, visit drhoffman.com/True Niagen Pro. That's T-R-U, True Niagen Pro. drhoffman.com/True Niagen Pro. True Niagen Pro is cellular defense for life. Okay, and now let's take a look at what I think is a conundrum, which is, and it was the sort of unrevealed part of this epidemic, particularly here in New York, but also in major urban centers where there are lots of homeless. New York is, unfortunately, it's a mecca for the homeless. You can't walk the streets of New York without encountering lots of homeless people, in particular now, because the responsible citizens, at least over the past few weeks, have been sheltering in place. The homeless have no place to go. So you take a walk, and half the people you saw were homeless. And the other half had long, unruly hair and looked unkempt. And they were the regular citizens of New York who couldn't get to the beauty parlor or to get their haircuts. So it made for kind of a bleak landscape in New York, the empty streets, the homeless hanging out. And when this all began, I said, oh, my goodness, the homeless are at very high risk because they're not taking any precautions. They're gathered together, many of them in homeless camps. They travel, you know, at night in the subways, and they are also immunosuppressed because their nutrition is poor. Many of them are using alcohol or drugs. And if ever there was a case of poor protoplasm, I mean, you see these people, some of them have open sores, bandages on. They're in terrible condition. And I thought at the beginning of this, there would be literally, heaps of corpses piled up in the subway stations, or in even in the streets. I thought this is going to rip through the homeless community like a scythe and kill hundreds, if not thousands, of these poor, vulnerable individuals. But that's not happening. It's a very curious phenomenon. At least we're not hearing about it. To some extent, maybe they're underreporting it because they don't want to stigmatize the homeless, sensitive issue. But I thought, what in the heck is happening to the homeless? And could it be that the homeless are a big reservoir of infection that could be transmitted to others? I mean, they sleep in our subway cars. A typical experience for a New Yorker prior to the recent coronavirus pandemic was, you know, get in a subway car and you, this very unpleasant aroma assaults your olfactory sensors, and then you realize that you got in the wrong car. You got in a car where at one end of the car, there's a homeless person sleeping, and their hygiene's very poor, and everybody else crowded to the other side of the car. But literally, when the doors close, you're closed with this smell. So the object is at the next station. This will resonate for New Yorkers. People in Kansas, they'll say, how can you live that way? Well, for New Yorkers, this is a common experience. At the next station, you get off and you go to a subway car where there's not a sleeping homeless person. This could be, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't have to be, you know, late at night. So, are these homeless people a source of transmission of the deadly virus? And they did a study in Boston. Residents of a large homeless shelter in Boston. And here's what they found. They just tested them randomly. And they didn't necessarily have to be symptomatic. They didn't have to have a fever or a cough. In fact, very, very few individuals had those symptoms. Random testing revealed that 36% of them tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. Now, this is not the antibody test. This does not mean that they had been exposed and they recovered. It means that they had active infection and they were infectious. 36%, over one-third. And what was interesting was you might say, well, yeah, I guess they tested them because they were sick. No, they just did random testing. And in fact, among individuals with a positive PCR test, only 7.5% of them had a cough. And they might have had a cough before that because many of them, you know, catch cigarettes, you know, and you pick up cigarette butts from the sidewalk and smoke them. Only 7.5% of them had a cough. 1.4% of them had shortness of breath. And fever by no means was a discriminator. You know, that those thermometer tests didn't do any good. While 36% of them were PCR positive, 0.7% of them had fever. 88% of them were asymptomatic, but they were carrying the virus. And this, folks, I submit to you, may be one of the factors that has caused this infection to rip through New York City. Because think of all the poor commuters from the outer boroughs, the workers who came in via subway in February and early March before the lockdown. And they commingled with these homeless individuals, many of them who had high levels of coronavirus. They were asymptomatic but infectious. And this is at least one of the plausible modes of transmission, which also accounts for the fact that if you go to Plano, Texas, the incidence of this disease is very, very low. There simply isn't that commingling of people with a high level of infection. There's also not international airports like Kennedy International Airports where people come in from all over the world and then embark on taxis and Ubers into communities surrounding the airport. These are factors which may have had a lot to do with the spread of the virus. So what the crazy thing about it is the homeless are not dying in droves from this. They are having asymptomatic infections. These poor individuals, poorly nourished, many of them in bad shape, exposed to the elements. What is it about them that makes them resistant? Maybe the mere fact that they've been outside and exposed to a lot of germs renders them more immune competent in some way. That's the hygiene hypothesis. You know, whatever germs don't kill you make you stronger. And these individuals may be highly resilient, paradoxically, to the coronavirus. They don't seem to be suffering the brunt of the hospitalizations and the deaths that we're seeing with coronavirus that are afflicting other, you know, perhaps better fed individuals, more obese individuals, individuals who, because of prosperity, may have a higher risk of having complications. It's a very interesting subject. It's not getting enough attention. And we don't mean to stigmatize that population of unfortunates. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients. Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstore supermarkets and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You know, we do a little show prep and have a little repartee before the show. Myself and our audio engineer, Al. And Al said, he sent me this this headline, "Thousands of people want to be exposed to COVID-19 for science." And he said, "What's up with that? Crazy headline." So I did a little digging on the subject. There's an initiative called One Day Sooner. They've got a website. It's an online registry for volunteers to be exposed to COVID-19 for the sake of science. So this is a form of extreme altruism. I mean, there are people who literally donate organs, sometimes to family members, sometimes to strangers, out of generosity. And this is in that spirit. More than 16,000 people, most of them young adults, have signaled their support for a controversial method of speeding up the development of a vaccine by intentionally infecting dozens of volunteers. This practice is called a human challenge study or controlled human infection study. Now, ordinarily, this kind of study, quite frankly, would be considered highly unethical. You know, it's almost, it's not quite Dr. Mengele, but it verges on the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. You know, giving people deliberately a disease or not treating them for a disease with an effective treatment. This is considered banned by world health regulations and by ethical constraints. But the demands of the coronavirus pandemic have sort of accelerated the need for research. And, you know, they're going to go through all kinds of ethical evaluation of these trials, but it looks like they may actually be undertaken. They may actually do trials. And this is not, you know, just randomly giving people COVID-19. So how you doing? You know, we just gave this to you. We're going to see how you're doing. It's designed to be in the aftermath of being given a vaccine. And they actually think that the first vaccines are going to be nasal vaccines. You know, like the polio shot, the Salk vaccine was a shot, and then they came up with the Sabin oral polio vaccine. It's thought that some of the first iterations of the coronavirus vaccine will be administered intranasally. And then they're going to deliberately infect people with the coronavirus to see what happens. And one of three things might happen. Absolutely nothing. No protection whatsoever. Or the people might be protected. Hooray. Or the people could have an exaggerated reaction to the coronavirus because it's like their immune system is already kind of revved up to protect itself from the coronavirus. And as happened with some vaccines in the past, you get exposed to the thing in question and you get sicker. That is definitely a possibility. The other thing is something about the vaccine itself might make people feel sick under the weather or have unexpected consequences. So it's a risky proposition, not something that I would be willing to undertake. I probably wouldn't meet the criteria for it because being over 65, they're not going to let seniors pioneer this vaccine. This is for the young and the bold and the altruistic, but it's something that people may do. They may undertake this ultimate sacrifice for science. The initiative is called One Day Sooner, and you're going to be hearing more and more about it as the frantic search for a solution to this problem continues. 877-726-8255. Coming up in next hour, we're going to take a look at hydroxychloroquine. It works? It doesn't work? What's the deal? This is Intelligent Medicine.